So most times we can know when
it's what we keep doing. How do I keep learning on?
Okay, welcome to this session. This is the fourth and final section. Matthew 28, from verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, so therefore go, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Okay, we will take up something that we took it up last week. Why? And we said, when Jesus said this, he was reading from what? The Old Testament book, right? Yeah, Old Testament book. All of that is in heaven and earth. Did you say that last week? I don't think I said that. Okay. We started last week from John 1:1. That was started from? Yeah. Now let's look at John 1:1. I just share with the opening text with Matthew 28. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and God is the Word. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him, anything made that is made. So when He says in the beginning was the Word, when you have beginning, your mind goes to Genesis, right? Genesis was the Word. The Word was with God, and God is the Word. I will say what that implies is that the Bible is God's story, right? You say the Bible is God's story. The Bible is theology. It doesn't contain theology. The Bible does not contain theology. The Bible is theology. The Bible is God's story. God's story. Hallelujah. It is theology itself. That means I must not look at the Bible as a book that contains theology, but the Bible itself is God's story, God's story. So if I look at the scripture and I see the story of Abraham, it's not actually Paul. I mean, most of them writing Abraham's story. No, he's writing God's story. Hallelujah. And God's story will be found where? In the story of men. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. So in the writings of Moses concerning Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Enoch, Adam, as you read those stories, you are reading God's story in men's activity. Hallelujah. So, and we said it must be read. There's a way theology must be read. Right? That is how you read the Bible. Theology must be read in Christology. Right? Christology is how theology is known. It's how theology is read. And in my Christology, I must read Him as the what? In my Christology, I must read the Christos as the what? As the what? As the soter, yeah. I must read the Christos as the soter in the soteriology. I must read the Christos as the soter in the soteriology. With the gift of pneuma, thought and practiced in the ecclesiology. Right? I must read the soter in the theology with his gift of the pneuma, which is the spirit, thought and practiced in the ecclesiology. That said, the things of the spirit are learned and practiced in the garden. Right? Right? This is discipleship. This is Matthew 28:18-20. Make disciples. What they will be taught to be pneumaticos. Pneumaticos. Hallelujah. Pneumaticos. So in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul began to teach. Can we say Paul began to teach pneumaticos in 1 Corinthians 12? Okay, for the sake of our teaching, Paul began to teach pneumaticos. Hallelujah. But look at it. But Paul did not begin to teach pneumaticos in chapter 12. Don't worry, we'll begin to look at as we progress in the teaching of pneumaticos. Hallelujah. We will see that 1 Corinthians 12 is actually a correction, or is actually it's more or less correcting what was defective in their gathering. Are you following me? So it's more of correctional. than a teaching in itself. So it contains, we have a teaching of pneumaticals there, but that was not where Paul began to teach the pneumaticals in 1 Corinthians. We'll see that, but it's not today. Hallelujah. But for the sake of this class, let's take it like that. So Paul began to teach the pneumaticals. Are you following me? He began to teach the pneumaticals. So, it is now consigning pneumaticals, peri, that is, this concerning this. Right? And we said he began to teach them because of what was happening in their garden. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. What was happening in their garden? Strife, envy, factions, right? Now, in teaching about pneumaticals, he makes us see that there are diversities of gifts in the gift of the Spirit. You know, the charisma of God is the pneuman. Hope you know that. Right? The charisma of God, the gift of God, is the Spirit. Is the Spirit. The gift of God is the Spirit. So Paul now makes us see that in that charisma, there are diversities of charisma in the charisma. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there are diversities of gift in the Spirit, in the gift of the Spirit. Now, these are, and he also shows us that there are diversities of operation of the Spirit, where the same God who works all in all, who works all things in all, I mean all in all. When you say all in all, it means he works all the gifts in all the body. That is verse 11, chapter 12. Hallelujah. Chapter 12, verse 11. Hallelujah. He says to who works all these things. Hallelujah. All these things. So he works all the gifts in all the bodies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So all the gift in all the body is the Spirit's work. That is the operation of the Spirit. That no one is deficient of the gift of the Spirit. No one. No one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now in verse 12, Paul now said something. He has said, for as the body is one and has many members, but all members of one, all members of that body, all members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. What is Paul doing here? What is Paul doing here? Paul, remember we said, first of all, Paul is changing their narrative when they come together, right? Right? We say Paul is changing their narrative when they come together. Now, in general analysis, when they come together, look at what Paul now did. He had brought in a figure. He introduces a figure. Or I put like, he chose in a figure. What figure? The figure of the body. Life or the human body. Chosen of the human body. Just to, why is he throwing in the figure of the human body? It's not for you to start using not their hair, just like the head. No, that's not what he's saying. So don't start looking at. Look at what he was trying to achieve, right? Remember that how we say when you read parables and figures of speech, right? Look at the goal of it. Not start being exegesis. Glory to God. Glory to God. So. What was he trying to use that to show? It's to show that we are one in Christ. Did you see that? That's what he showed. That we are one in Christ. That's what he showed us in verse 12. Look at verse 13. He said, for in one Spirit, he said, we are baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. He's showing us our oneness. You get that? So he chose in the human body to show us our oneness. Hallelujah. In verse 28. In verse 28, you know, he's showing you oneness. He doesn't get to verse 28. Now say, let me start from verse 27. 25. Right here. It says 25. It says that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Did you see that? Say, but if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And this to verse 20. Now says, and God has appointed this in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, health, administration, varieties of tongues. Before we get to look at the golden questions, in verse 28, what is Paul doing? He throws in distinction. He has been saying, we are one. Get to get it. We are made to drink of one spirit. We have been baptized into one body. He now throws in the distinction. The same thing he will do in Ephesus to the church who writes. I mean, the same thing he will do in the book of Ephesians and in the book of Romans. He throws in that difference. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Romans 12, 4. Quickly. Romans 12, 4. He throws in. We are one in Christ. But there is a distinction. Look at Romans 12, 4. Quickly. Who's that in again? He says, he says, for we are, for as we have many members in one body. Did you see that? That oneness. He says, but all members do not have the same functions. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He throws in the distinction in terms of functions. Are you following that? He throws in that distinction. There. Hallelujah. He says the same thing, that we are all members. But when it comes to ministry gifts, he says we do not have the same function. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I have something in my notes. He said, though here it speaks of the functions of the ministry gift, yet he brings the fact that though we are one in Christ, but when it comes to ministry, there are distinctions. There are distinctions. He makes us see that. He calls it grace. Verse 6. He calls it grace. He says, having them give, differing according to the grace that is given to us. So let him that, I mean, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. This is that. He calls it grace. When he look at verses 4 again, it makes you see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says grace. Before that, in that same verse, he says, having gifts differing, right? Using the word gifts differing, will be ministry. Ministry. This time, functions. In verse 4, look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. It says, for as we have many members in one body, but all do not have the same function. Did you see that? So he makes you see that it is function he's talking about. So what Paul makes us see here is though we are one in Christ, united. I wonder why I use united. When it comes to ministry, there is difference. You see that? When it comes to ministry, there is difference. We'll spend many more time talking about ministry here. Hallelujah. When it comes to ministry, there's difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He calls it grace. We'll look at that shortly. In Ephesians chapter 4 also. Ephesians 4. I would like to read from verse 4. I guess we did this study in series 1 now. Did we? Did we?
Yes, sir.
So look at Ephesians and
Is it
this one? Well, we're going to Psalms 2. Or was it Colossians? Okay. In Ephesians chapter 4, look up from verse 4. It says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called into one hope of your calling. Did you see that? One body that is one spirit. Did you see that? Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I wonder. Did you see how Paul writes here? In you all. So it shows our oneness. Can you see that? Our oneness. This is verse 7. He says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
One says, I'm about to rush down to Cyprus. I wanted to know if I thought it in series 1. Important.
Let's be concerned.
Is it right? Okay.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. It now says, but, I take it again. Right? Verse 7. He said, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Or of Christ's gift. So, what Paul is saying in verse 7 is that when it comes to ministry, there is difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is difference. And then in verse 8, he goes down to Psalm 68. In verse 8. He says, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Hallelujah. Let's look at Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Remember, I told you, when you see a scripture quoted, it means you need to read what? The whole thing. Right? Right? Is it the whole thing? Yes. Psalm 68. Are you Psalm 68? From verse 18. Or Psalm 17. It said the chariot of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. Hallelujah. When it calls thousands of thousands, that is the numbering at that day. When you want to say something is uncountable. Right? Is it thousands and thousands, thousands of thousands and tens of thousands? Do you get it? Uncountable, that's what it means. Because you don't have millions in those days. Right? Following me? Okay. So it says the Lord is among them as in Sinai. In the holy place. Hallelujah. Say you have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. And you have received gift amongst men. Did you see? Paul will now write and say he gave gift to men. He gave gift to men. Hallelujah. He gave gift to men. He received gift amongst men. All King James will say you receive gifts for men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You receive gifts amongst men. Even from the rebellious, that the Lord might dwell there. Now it says in verse 19, Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, for God of our salvation. Selah. Hallelujah. Who daily loads us with benefits. We'll see that shortly. Hallelujah. So when he says he received gifts for men, what that implies is that the ministry gifts are in the body. Hallelujah. He received gifts for men. Who did? Jesus, right? So where will he be? In the body. So the gifts are in the body. Are you following me? Are you following me? The gifts will be where? In the body. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The gift is in the body. Glory to God. But not all functions in it. Remember, they receive, when they gave gift to men, will be the resultant effect of what they are seeing in the church. Are you following me? Do you get it? Now, but when the service wrote, he says he received gift for men. Did you get that? So when now the church has commenced, right? And we now see the leader to come to I'm already jumping to the conclusion. Tell that. I just wanted to see why Paul will write and say, and receive gifts. And he gave gifts to men. Did you see that? So why would Paul write he gave gifts to men? Because the gift in the body, right? The gift that he has received for men. Did you see that? He received it well in his body as for men. Do you get it? So Paul is writing on the resultant effect that men are functioning in. Are you following that? Hallelujah. So there's no difference. Glory to God. So he received gifts for men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as we begin to look further on our study of pneumaticals, we will expand on this. Hallelujah. We'll expand on this. He received gifts for men. Amen. Amen. It's something I trust the Lord that we'll look at in our next study of pneumaticals. In verse 11, when he now gets to verse 11, he now says, and he gave some. Put your hands in Psalms 68 and look at Ephesians 4:11. So that means what Paul is teaching in Ephesians 4. He's teaching from Psalm 68. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said he gave gift to men. Now said, now this. He ascended that. What does he mean? He first descended to the lower part. Can you see this? Of the earth. He who ascended is also he that ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all in all. Now, verse 11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Right? Say for the pastor. Now, verse 12, that's the prophet. Now, he may not listed out those ministry. Right? Not listed out those ministry, those functions. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 68, verse 19. He says, blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Hallelujah. He daily loads us with benefits. So when he says, he daily loads us with benefits, it will be verse 11 of Ephesians 4. What is that benefit? The ministry. I call it the ministry. Or put the ministry gift. Hallelujah. 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 Then I said, he gave some to be. When I said, he gave some. The some here shows it's not for all. You get? It's not for all. It's not for all. It's not for all. Though we are all in that one spirit, but not all functions. Do you get that? Do you understand me? When I say it's not for all, it means not all is functioning in it in the local church. Did you get it? Eh? Remember, what we have in the background is the gathering. Right? In our teaching, we have the gathering in the background, the local church. So that will be, it will be similar with what he said in 1 Corinthians 12:28. It will be similar. 1 Corinthians 12:28. He now says, he says, God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophet, third teachers, after that miracles, then gift of healing, helps administration, varieties of tongues. Hallelujah. So Paul puts it as God has set up. God has appointed, God has set up this. Hallelujah. What does it show you? It shows you that the leadership of the local church is God's set up. The leadership of the local church is God's setup. It's God's plan. It's God's plan. And God's structure. It's God's plan, God's structure. Do you get that? Hallelujah. It's God's plan. It's God's structure. Then he now went ahead to say in that 1 Corinthians 12:28. God has appointed this in the church. Now say first apostles. Now, when he uses the word first, that is the word proto, he's not speaking about hierarchy. When he says second, doulos, he's not speaking about hierarchy. When he uses the word first, proton, it implies first revealed. We will see this also subsequently in our teaching. Hallelujah. First revealed. He was referring to the act experience. What was first revealed in the church is what the apostles. Are you going to hear me? Hallelujah. So when he says, firstly apostles, we're not referring to apostles, so he says, I'm an apostle. I told about the story about me and my friends, right? Right? Yes. When we were praying one time, as we were praying, we come together to pray like that. After SS3, we usually come every day to come and pray. So one day, as we were praying, then I gained admission, so I came back. We're just having prayer time. So while we were praying like that, serious prayer. And most times the way we'll pray is that they will gather in my house around 8, sometimes 9. We'll pray till school is still, secondary school will close around 2 or 2:30. Then when my younger ones come, we'll now leave the house. We'll now walk, we'll walk around base, walk to his place, then we'll now find time again in the night to go and pray. That's what we used to do. So we were just praying. So that day we were praying. As we're praying, yes, who said that Islam mission? I just said, whoa, with the Lord's hand, I'm there. You know that? I was praying, I just made that word of statement. I just said, I'm in the Lord's hand in the last days. Oh, my just praying like that. So my friend, Sunde, Fran said, I'm a general in the army. Prayer, so I'm a general. You know, we're just picking up, we were praying and we're picking up bodies. And I say, in these last days, I'm in the Lord's army. I've been enrolled in the Lord's army in the last days. Man, no, okay, we're just praying. And you say, I'm a general in that army. You know, he took it up. I'm a general in the army. When he said I'm a general in the army, so we just took it up, praying. You know that we're just praying. I'm a general in the army. I responded. We're praying. Then another friend of mine, who's going to be with the Lord now, Jeremiah, now said, I'm a captain in that army. I just picked up the body. We're in the army of the Lord. I never knew that they were having spiritual warfare amongst themselves. Hallelujah. After the prayer, when children were back from school, we would step out. So we just, after we don't pray like that, we'll be sweating. We'll not come out. We didn't sweat. We're not going to take our bath. Basket. Just come out there. Breathe, we'll try it. We don't walk around base. Walk around. Just this thing. We're not walking, so I'm not walking. The guy now said, why would you call yourself captain in the Lord's army? So why would you say you are general? And the way we walk here, I'm usually at the middle because I'm the tallest. I'm the tallest, so there was one teacher we took like that. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the teacher. I saw it not too long ago. I snapped it, sent it to the, and then I point. So Jeremiah was coming. So but I saw the picture. We took pictures and you see them by my side. And I still did the video. look at them. So who's this? By Jenny Coy my hair. The man is sleeping. We had a structure, we call it. Let me go online for our cost trouble. When you have money, you have a brand activator for hair. So, but does that have that argument? I'm a general! So, have you seriously? I'm just looking at it because I didn't really know what was happening. But look at that. That prayer,
I was busy catching body
to pray with.
Yes. And they were actually seeing us, no. I said, wait a minute. Man of God, between a general and a captain, who is higher? And I said, no, general is higher than captain. Say, hey! You know? No, captain is higher than general. You know this kind of stuff. Captain is higher than general. You know, now, for children to not deal with Jeremiah, and I said, there's only one person like the captain of the Lord's army, and that is Jesus himself. So you can't take the office of Jesus. And I said, yeah. He didn't know what to do. He didn't say, no. The Lord has made me the captain. I'm like, look at these guys. So I had all about this. Emoji, you are just in the army. we are the one. Because I usually say things like, I'm at the forefront of the Lord's army in the last day. So he said, you are just at the forefront. But somebody will lead those at the forefront. Look, I never knew that it was what I was playing, I was preparing them. I'm at the forefront. And you know, they were preparing them. So one person, so you're just at the forefront. So somebody will lead. They are the captain of the general. Interesting. And my brethren were fighting over it. It's good. Hallelujah. How did I even get to this? How did I get to this? Okay, proof. Yeah, proof. So he has got 14, well, yeah, and first apostle. That's not to do it. So when they were not giving names, the man now said he's a prophet. And I said he's a prophet, Jeremiah. Because I caught him the apostle. So I said, if he's the apostle, let me know the issue. If he's the apostle, I'm prophet. And I said, what about me? They know you are reverend. I said, you are reverend. So they just know how to push me aside. You are reverend. So me and I have to use that reverend to get at their boots. Hallelujah. Just love you. So there was a day. Tunis was now saying, as an apostle, the apostle directed the ship of God's people. That's what the Bible says, false apostle. The man said, no, the apostle will not have direction except by the prophet. And this is going to cause fights one day. And I said, you know what? Let me say to both of you. I said, you cannot say to you, you're just reverend. I said, no, reverend means both of you reverence me. So you have to say. Because, yeah, the man was like, do I have passed my judgment? I said, no, they're not like reverend. They're not like reverend in the body of Christ. There's no reverend. He said, is that a pastor or an apostle? You cannot be reverend. What are you doing? So I'm reverend because of you. At least.
He's reverend.
You have
to do
it. No. I miss Jeremiah so much. Whenever I don't again, I just miss this guy. Talk again, man. We organized a meeting like that. I was not around. I was in school, and I heard that meeting room today was not preaching. The Bible said today was a, you know, we usually invite ourselves. Yes, sir. So today was the guest minister. So today minister. What did today meeting room say? Are you any one of them? So today minister. So I said, I want to welcome my brother Jeremiah to come and minister. The man and I, when I was hearing this story, I said, the man will not change. This guy will not change. He now stood up. He now said, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. My name is Prophet Jeremiah. And today I'm looking at the book of Jeremiah. Ah! The student said, hey, this guy should not come and scatter my meeting. Okay, yes, the student is listening. He doesn't know. Let me get the man. So one day, and we now got him. See, I'm a prophet, man. I said, see, you are prophet Jeremiah. I said, yeah, but Jeremiah, he didn't want it. So Jeremiah was a lamenting prophet. He said, no. He said, Oh, lamentation. Where did you go? There was a day, you know, there was a day we went to prophesy, and then Jabo, he now carried him and his load, not putting his eye where. I want a sheep. Oh my, I just be very naughty those days. Very naughty. We're naughty. So Jeremiah, you know that's a prophet. One day the Lord will send you. You know, God sent Jeremiah to go to the village square. He sat there. He now told him to eat the feces of animals.
Yeah, it's not child. I showed him.
Then he said, one day, I won't be afraid. If I see you thinking, I don't know, I'm a word man. I don't know what. You don't have to be a problem. You must see how this is as a talker now.
No.
No. I can talk about
Adin.
Hallelujah. But you know what? When he says give first apostles, not talking about hierarchy. No, not talking about hierarchy. He has the word proton apostolos. It means the first. When you use the word proton, you know, proton is like the first to be revealed. So he was actually referring to the Acts experience. You know, if you look at the book of Acts, which is a study we would later look at. Do you understand me? After, subsequently, as we treat on Pneumaticus ministry gifts, we'll look at, I guess that's what we'll look at next. Maybe it's not this year though, to the end of next year. And we'll look at ministry gifts in full, in detail. But this will just be like an introduction into that. Now you will discover that what Paul is talking about is that in the book of Acts, the first ministry gift that was revealed, that we see, when we mean revealed, that we saw, is the apostles. Do you get it? Then after the apostles, what says was also revealed in the book of prophets. Did you see that? You understand hearing about prophets. So that is the word doulos. Yes, and that is the second doulos prophecies. Do you understand? The prophet. Thirdly, not the teacher. You see that sequence. This is that you see that sequence in the book of Acts. So that's what Paul is talking about. That this was how it was revealed in the church. Not in, do you get me? It's not that in their organization or in their church must have the apostle, must have the prophet. No. Do you understand me? So, Paul is using that to teach leadership. Are you following me? So, we will get to see that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Paul was not teaching difference. They only say firstly, secondly, and third. No, it was not difference. It was not hierarchy. No. But when Paul now draws in the divider, when he shows in the difference, when he puts in the distinction, was when he now say after that. That word after that is the Greek word epital. E-P-I-T-A-L, epital. A word used for distinction. A word used to show distinction. Hallelujah. Meaning, what Paul does is to show distinction between the leadership of the local church and the members. And the members. He uses it to show leadership and the members. How do we know? That is what is that? Then after that was miracles, gift of healings, health, administration, varieties of tongues. How do you remember, sir? When you look at what he said after that, where would you find them? In the 90s, right? Right? Is that not what we have seen from verses 7? Eh? I mean from verses 8, right? So, and he now says, it's the spirit that works all these gifts in all the bodies. Do you get it? So what Paul has just done now, instead of Paul to now tell you, okay, after that, the members, he just puts it, this. Do you get that? To show you that he's referring to the members of the local church. So that's where Paul draws in the divider between the leadership and the members. Are you following me? After this session, I'm going to ask 13 questions. Because we're running it up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Questions related to what I've taught you on the Marcus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. We still have a long way to go, so calm down. Glory to God. So that's where Paul chose in the divider. Do you understand what I said now? Do you understand what I said now? Eh? Because when you will find the miracles is in the gifts, right? And where is the gift in all the bodies, right? When you find the gift of healing, health and you will find it there. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So the leadership of the local church, what Paul is showing us is that there is distinction between the leadership of the local church and the members. Are you following me? And the members. And the leadership is set up for what? Spiritual growth. Ephesians 4:12. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, that is the word
Catechismo, right? For the perfecting, equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. He said, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He said, we all come to the unity of faith, then to the measure of the status of the fullness of Christ. Right? Right? So, verse 14 says, there will be no more children tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine. Do you understand me? So that means that the reason for the leadership is for spiritual. That is God's structure in the church. That is God's structure. There is the leadership and there is the members. I call them in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 3, verse 17. He said that the man of God is, I'll come from verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. It says, all spiritual gifts are the expression of God and profitable for doctrine, for exhortation. It says for doctrine, for doctrine, for the proof of correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, very important. Very important. Glory to God.
There's also I wanted to say that I've actually said when we discussed the church, the local church.
So who is now the pastor of the local church? Who is now the head of the local church? The pastor, right? We discussed that. So listen to the church, the local church. I took this part there. So let's look at the leadership of the local church. The leadership of the local church. Matthew 18. Are you Matthew 18? From verses 15. He says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go to tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. If he does not hear you, take with you two or more, that by the mouth of two or more witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. For if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you a hidden and a tax collector. Now, when he says church here, he refers to the eldership of the local church. That is the word synagogue, though. He refers to the eldership there. When you hear anything to the church, you normally you come out and say, praise the Lord, though. This brother, no, when he says church, he refers to the leadership, right? Of the local church. What this implies is that when there is issue, when there is issues, when you have issue with a brother, instead of acting like the unsaved, the people in the book of Corinth, what did they do? They took themselves to court. Did you see that? In 1 Corinthians 6, they took themselves to court. Instead of acting like unbelievers, what did Paul say you should do? Tell it to the leadership of the church. Did you get that? Tell it to the leadership of the church. And you too, you must learn to honor your leadership. We'll get there. Hallelujah. Tell it to the leadership of the church. Amen. Amen. You tell it to the leadership of the church. Very important. So, when he now says in that verse 17, if the erring brother didn't listen to you, he should be to you what? A hidden and a tax collector. We saw that on the CRC. How did Jesus treat the hidden and tax collectors? He ate with them. He dined with them. He forgave them. So he should pardon them. Hallelujah. 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 Look at Paul and Philemon with Onesimus. Onesimus had aired Philemon. When he aired, he had offended him. In fact, history took it that he stole from Philemon and ran away. So Philemon has been looking for him. No, bro, Philemon. This one is soldier. Hallelujah. Philemon has been looking for him. So now, Paul now writes a letter. Now he says, this time you're going to take Onesimus as a brother. Ah! Are you following me? Is there anything he has done to you? Charge it to my account. What it means that it shows you that Onesimus has taken something valuable from Philemon. Has anything he has done to you? Charge it to my account. Now, Paul now plays the role of a father or a pastor. He has to see. And you know that even you yourself owe me your life. Imagine your pastor telling you that. Someone has wronged you, have to forgive him. Yeah, pastor. Forgive me! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! So, what this implies is that the brethren must, not male, brethren must always listen and take counsel from their pastors at all times. Whether it falls on your favor or not. Listen and take counsel from your who? Pastors at all times. Listen and take counsel. Remember one time, one brother was, brother was burning for his sister. No, by burning for his sister, you don't know, don't worry, put your hand inside fire, you understand. I was burning very well for his sister. And for the boy, I said, bro, let this sister go. He says, sir, I have fasted, I have prayed. The Lord said it is her. I said, sir, I said it to her. You see, it is very stupid for you to talk to your pastor. You are, see, it is stupid when you talk to your pastor and tell your pastor the Lord said. You are dubious. Don't do that. Are you going to do that? Do that. Even when it has to do with counsel, don't say, sir, the Lord said I should start up a business. I want to know whether I should do it. The Lord said, I should, you don't want to take it. No. Do what the Lord says. Yes, and be wise as pastors. Don't you cannot, you want to seek advice on your pastor? I think the Lord said. I don't know whether I was come to tell me the Lord said this is my wife. He said I was sitting like this on the chin. I wish I saw that. I was just looking at him. it's not a joke. So when I was up to university, say the Lord said this is my wife. Even me as your pastor, I don't have such audacity. He said that I was sitting down like this and I looked up, the Lord just said, this is your wife. I said, not that we're not here, you see. Why did you people even say, not when Muhammad over here for this? I said, okay. You know what, to put me in the corner, and now that I come and show her to you. I said, okay. I said, are you confirming? The Lord told me, so I said, people should go now. Say the Lord, I said, who am I? The Lord said in the last 1 year. We have to have pastors' counsel. Pastors, we have to sit and call the sisters and stand on the law. The Lord said, you come back. He said, no. Can you? The Lord said, hey, you are not wise. Then you come and meet the pastor. And then the Lord said, you lack wisdom. Say, sir. I like this sister. And I want to ask if I should go and say, the pastor now says, oh my head, because the pastor might know another brother that has gone farther than you. You don't know. I want to save you, sir. Your head will not fall. That's it, bro. That is not sending you there. You know what? Go to the address of my daddy. Please listen. So the pastor is trying to cover your shame. You don't know. I'll tell you guys about your brother. I will tell you, don't go in here. He said, the Lord has sent me. I prayed and fasted. The Lord has sent me. I said, bro. In fact, I was worried. I was concerned. What are you agreeing? There are some pastors there. I went to talk. You don't agree. Oh, yeah. Go now. See, today. That's the browsing site. I've not been able to knock. Because you see, let me tell you.
At the point you cannot got depressed. See, you depression on you. See, that's you tell your pastor before you go. Because if you tell your pastor, see, we are this one now, and I'm telling you to practice, we are practicing this. Because when we are plenty, you see, I'm telling you, every situation your pastor knows, in your campus, you see, he's not a trouble. Before you know, a brother can go count 10 sisters and be seeing visions on their head. Remember, you say, have you told pastor? He's not a pastor. Sister, because it's the sister that the brother always has. Have you told pastor? Not their pastor. Their pastor, please. Jonathan, just the lady person is their pastor. Their pastor. He said, I live out of that money. He was a nonsense. Because they know what they are saying, they cannot come and tell us what the Lord said. Oh, Lord said, come. Lord said, come. I don't know if you understand. Somebody can come and say, sir, is this the kind of thing that I know? Say, you know, I've been dreaming of her. Say, that tall one, I'm saving three, one upstairs. The Lord is not sending you there. The Lord said, bro, let me save you in the last minute. Somebody will use the fairness of 10,000 to our phone. And you will still make less. So, you better save yourself. Do you understand? He's like, no, my. You people are not stable. You know, I'm just entering and going to end. I mean, leadership of the future. What I just said, I'm not talking about anything. This is what I say. For orderliness. You get glory to God. So whether I fall in your favor or not, whether I fall in your favor or not, I'm going to tell you, don't go. You understand? Don't go. Sir, I have the Lord told me to go and preach the gospel in Abuja. Oh no, for the Lord told me to go and preach the gospel in Arasongo. And you, that you don't even come from base to Oshodi. We used to borrow you money to enter bike. You want to go and do evangelism in Songo. How will you be getting the transport? Okay, I'm not doing evangelism in Oshodi. Serious? How will you know a disciple then? You cannot even pay for a bike. Serious? So this is never tell your pastor to love the church. What? Do you understand? What? You will need counsel from me. Do you understand? Never say to your pastor to love the church when you need counsel. No. That's question. Wise. Anybody that wants to tell you, see, let me tell you one truth. Everybody wants to do what the Lord says. They are trying to tell you what they want to tell your guy, you know, keep doing anything. You get it? I laugh at those people. Are you following me? They don't want you to object. They know what they are saying is nonsense. They know they cannot. Have you seen people that come to defend something with you? And from scripture is wrong. We have to know. That's what the Lord told you. Say the Lord, the author of the scriptures. That's what he told you. Run away from such people. Are you hearing me? Say the Lord, the author of the scriptures, told me that Acts of Apostles chapter 14 verse 16 is not actually easy. Come on! The Lord, the author of the scriptures, inspired the person that wrote to write in context. Read in context. Reading in context is the Lord said. Do you understand? Let's remember one funny thing I thought one year. I said, the Spirit of God is the author of the scripture, yes. And I now said, you know, beyond the letters. Beyond which letters? What is beyond which letters? Which letters? The reading of the letters in context is the Lord said. Remember, we just saw Jesus Christ. We look at Jesus and we say Jesus prophesied. All Jesus is teaching was from prophecy of the prophets. Yes. Everything of what he said. We saw in CRC that what Jesus was saying on the cross to the grave was all that David said. So we would have said, no, actually, the Spirit of God is saying, Jesus is the author of the scriptures, obviously. And yet, he didn't speak any unique word. Jesus was not unique with his words. He said his words that had been spoken by Moses. He said it. The same thing. Students! Stop taboo. When you see someone, the Lord said that chapter 4 of Ephesians chapter 4 is actually just this. Do you get it? So let's see Paul and Philemon. I've just looked at Paul and Philemon now, right? Okay. Hallelujah. So, Paul will now tell Timothy to treat Onesimus as a brother in verse 16 of Philemon 1. Hallelujah. So you must learn to listen to your pastor. Let's see how Paul tells us to treat the one who doesn't listen to the leadership of the local church. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. I see the way we are taking it off. It's still pneumatic also. So that means the orderliness in the local church is somewhere, the leadership. Did you not see? So that's what Paul is bringing to their mind. Are you following? Aha. Look at verse 14. He says, now I exhort you, brethren, to warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint and uphold the weak, be patient enough. They use the word unruly. It's the word atactos in the Greek. Atactos. A-T-A-K-T-O-S. Atactos. It's a compound of the word alpha and tasso. Alpha tasso. From the compound word alpha tasso. Alpha means negative, right? It makes it negative. Then tasso means to be orderly. To be orderly. So the word atacto therefore implies those who do not listen to instructions, those who act outside leadership, disorderly, insubordinate, disorderly. He said you should warn them. Hallelujah. You should warn them. Because to go against the leadership of the local church is to go against what God has set up. Remember, Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, it says, God has set up in the church. So he writes that for them, for you to know that, see, the leadership of the local church is God set up. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For you to know that the leadership of the local church is God set up. In Acts 15, when they had doctrinal issues, Acts 15, it was brought before the leadership. Hope you know that. They took it to the leaders of the local church. What it implies is that doctrinal issues are handled and corrected by the leadership. Doctrinal issues are handled by what? The leadership. Doctrinal issues are handled by the what? Leadership. Doctrinal issues. Imagine your pastor is quiet, you are there writing doctrine or whatever online. Are you okay? You're going online, write doctrine. Your pastor is meeting, you are correcting doctrine. It's the role of your pastor, the leadership. Are you following me? Doctrinal issues are handled by what? By who? The leadership. That's why you will see Paul's writing to the pastors, which is, if you look at Timothy and Titus very well, what Paul handled them was doctrine. You know, he did, writing to Timothy, he will say, short, profane, and old wise babbling. He will not say that in Corinth. He will not say that to the church. When he's writing letters to the church in Corinth, or writing letters to the church at Ephesus. Do you get it? Why? Because he's writing to the pastor.
You get, I don't say you should shun profane and over babbling. You tell the pastor study to present yourself approved. You get, you write to pastors that way because doctrinal issues are handled by the pastors. Do you get? It's handled by the pastor, the head of the local church. So when your pastor is quiet concerning a doctrinal issue, you are not the one that set him up there. Be quiet. Are you hearing me? No, sir. I remember something that someone actually wrote some things concerning a pastor that I respect. And the pastor saw it. And he responded. Another person that I'll now respond in peace. Just writing. No, he was defending the pastor. I thought, who sent you? Who sent you? Did they call your name? See that? Did they call your name? Who sent you? Me that I that he was directed at. I kept quiet. Why are you responding? Do you understand? Just be wise. Just be wise. Glory to God. Are you following me? Be wise. Keep quiet. Amen. I wrote something online one time, and thank God everybody here, nobody from here have to, nobody responded. You saw it, right? Okay, you might not have seen it. I wrote something about something as regards was it during NSAS? Like that, the local, around the local church, it came under great criticism. Somebody even thought I should write an apology. I'm not laughing. Yeah, I'm just looking at it. A lot of controversy, but somebody said, I don't care. I know your members are going to come at me. You tell them that way. I know your members are going to come at me. But I have to say the truth. How can you? Because I was teaching, I was saying something about this. Answers or yeah. You don't discuss. The church is not where you discuss those nonsense. The church is, you know, then people were going to church to put answers. The church is not where you discuss such nonsense. The church is where you teach. That was the people were still teaching pneumatic. So they can't just talk and talk. They do. They say, no. I know your pastor, your members are going to come at me, but I don't care. Let me just stay my mind. I hear that idea. I'm like, interesting. In my head, I said, some of my members will come and say, except I've not taught them. In my head, I said, no. Let's respond. So, somebody else from another country that was defending my position said, sir, I understand what you are saying. You don't have to do it. Do you get? Who sends you? Do you get? Once another person now captured it, now went to his inbox, now dropped it in his inbox, as in, did a screen munching or this. Oh, he was say, come and see. I knew this guy was going to be turned out fake at the end in school. He now wanted there. He said, I know him in school, though, when he was preaching. Thank God I was not even close to him, but he was doing all those preaching in school. In my head, I said, thank God you know I was preaching. Testimony. Hallelujah. So somebody has now responded, these are people just derailed from the calling of God. Hey, interesting. All my matter. Hey, that's very interesting. Very soon I'll become a global figure. All my matter. On his walk. Hallelujah. He said he knows that he was going to turn out fake. Fake. No problem. Aaron listened to the people. And what happened? He made for them a golden calf. I'm not going to listen to it. I stick to it. Hallelujah. The church is where Christ is taught and taught alone. Taught and taught alone. Alone and alone. Hallelujah. Come on, listen to me now. Hallelujah. Somebody has to come and give a poverty. Glory to God. So, the church is. So, you don't try to, you know, doctrinal errors is corrected by the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, just like in Acts chapter 15, the pastor at Jerusalem at that time was James. Right? James gave the conclusion. He spoke last. The pastor of the local church takes the decision. And that's when it gets to Acts 15, James now became the head of the church in Jerusalem because Paul had to depart to Rome. Do you get it? So James took the final decision. That said,
Also, I wanted to say something. You are not permitted. See, when it comes to questions concerning the local church, you don't have permission to be answering questions concerning the local church. Direct the question to your pastor. Don't start granting a newspaper publication concerning the local church or internet or this. No, I have to answer some questions concerning my local church. They're asking me and you're answering. You're not supposed to be directed to the pastor. Just be wise. Jonathan? Amen. Tell it to the pastor. Because your pastor might not want to grant any newspaper or any dispute or any news briefing. Amen. You, because you know small Greek and Hebrew. Greek and Hebrew is not local church. Amen. I don't know. That said, in the leadership of the local church, you have the pastor, right? The pastor is the one in charge of the local church. He or she is the overseer of the local church. We've discussed this before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in the book of Acts, we saw that in the church, aside others, in the local church, in the book of Acts, in the local church, aside others, we have the 12 apostles with Matthias included, right? Right? The apostles were the first revealed in the ministry gift. Yet, there was order. They had 12 apostles. No, the apostles were the first revealed. Yet, within that 12, there was order. Did you get it? There was order. When I said there was order, look at John 21, verse 15. John 21, 15. We'll see another. John 21, 15. Are you there? Look at John 21, verse 15. So, when Jesus had eaten breakfast, or when they had eaten breakfast, not Jesus, Jesus said to Simon Peter. So when they, including Jesus, you know that. So Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. Say, feed my lambs. And he said again, the second time, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, do you know that I love you? He said to him, tend my sheep. This is that. So when Jesus spoke to Simon to feed the sheep will include the 11 and the 120, right? Right? The 120, which is inclusive of the 11 or the 12, Matthias included. Right? 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 Did you see that? So, automatically, he points to Simon Peter as the head. Because he wants to tend them. When he said, feed my sheep. When he said that word, feed my sheep, it means that is the role of a pastor. So, Peter is now the pastor to the apostles. Do you get that? Do you get that? So Peter is the pastor. So even amongst the 12, there was a leader. Are you following? There's still order. Do you get it? So in the book of Acts, before chapter 15, when it was believed Peter left Jerusalem for Rome, and the pastor of Jerusalem was now who? James. Do you get it? But let's see how things turned out from chapter 1 into chapter 15. Look at Acts 1 verse 15. Who was teaching them? Open your Bible to Acts 1 verse 15. Who taught them? Peter stood up. And taught from who? Acts 1 verse 15. Peter stood up and Peter taught from the stand. Hallelujah. And this is Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of the names was about 120 and said, men and brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled. He taught them from chapter 4, verse 16. Did you get that? Peter taught them. And he chose Matthias. Did you get that? And they chose Matthias rather. In chapter 2, verse 14, when they were yapping them, you guys are drunk! Drunk! Peter rose up and spoke.
Peter alone spoke. How do you know that? Chapter 2, verse 14. Say, Peter standing up with the left said, right? Right? Peter stood up and spoke. You know, when Peter was speaking, you didn't see Thomas say, Peter, let me ask something. You know, not just Jonah. If you go down to the words of the prophet, even Moses, in Numbers chapter 11, I mean Numbers chapter 21, he says, all my children should be prophet. And then Jonah says, you know, as the one that used to stay at Jesus' house, I used to lie at his chest. Let me tell you something that you meet up Peter. You know, if you look through the genealogy, you know, that would be disorder. For Peter spoke, every other person kept quiet. The other 11 kept quiet. They were with him just as Peter. They heard everything Peter heard while he was with them. Hope you know. But because Peter was told, Peter was the one that was sick. Every other person kept quiet. Are you following that? It's something to learn from. Hallelujah. When they got to Acts 3, they saw the man at the gate of Beautiful, called Beautiful, at the gate called Beautiful. You know, Peter and John, open to Acts 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the night hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and asked alms of them that entered. Who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Did you see that? Who said? Who said? Peter. Was it John that said? Peter. Did you see that? It was Peter. So Peter that laid out and Peter that spoke. Hallelujah. When a man came to ask questions, who spoke? From verses, I guess that should be verses 16. I mean, from verses 12. Who spoke? Who answered and said to them? Peter. Was John not there? John was there. But it was Peter that spoke. Did you see that? In Acts 4, when they were arrested and told not to, when they were arrested, who spoke? In Acts 4, it was Peter that spoke. Verses 8. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, rulers of the people, see that? It was Peter that spoke. Are you following me? In chapter 5, who led in the church? Peter. Are you following me? Who led in the church in chapter 5? In chapter 10, you know, in chapter 10, it was the only Peter that went to the house of Cornelius. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But who spoke? Peter spoke. So in the local church, when it comes to doctrinal matters, always listen and follow your pastor. Always listen and follow your pastor. There will be waves around, but if your pastor is not following the waves, don't follow. Just be wise. Are you following? Eh? Don't be wise. Just be wise. Just follow your pastor. The pastor is not talking about it. Keep quiet. Do you get it? I don't expect anybody to go and be asking questions on tithing. Do you get it? Yeah. Say you're following it. Amen. Just follow your pastor. See? Glory to God. Because we don't preach out of pressure. No. Then what pressure means? How many more years to preach? 60, 70. So, why are you pressuring me? He's when I was still younger, he can pressure me, I want to go preach. I'm not planning to go to Canada. Yeah. I'm not planning to take next flight. Today, yeah. Glory to God. So, we do it together. Hallelujah. So, as it were, the apostles were also part of the leadership, but they were under the pastor. So that implies that in 1 Corinthians 12:28, no, it's just 1 Corinthians 12:28 that we left from. When Paul spoke and said first apostles, he was referring to the hierarchy. He wasn't referring to the hierarchy in the church. Because we just saw now that even the pastor, even the apostles have a pastor. Did you get it? So not referring to hierarchy. Did you get it? Wasn't referring to hierarchy in the local church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even the apostle has a pastor. Amen. So it was referring to functions. We'll get to look at those functions. Not in this series, but in the next one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in the local church, I must know that the leadership is God's setup. The leadership is God's gift to me. Are you following me? Leadership is God's setup. Leadership is God's gift to me. So therefore, in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, because I know the leadership is God's setup, God's gift to me. In 1 Thessalonians 5:12, before I even get here, get to 1 Thessalonians 5:12. And some people who call their pastor by name, you are not wise. Are you following me? That's not wisdom. How many of you see your father and call your father daddy say? You give a slap. Call your father daddy. Or Pastor Gabba, you see your father and call him Mr. Sunny or W. Sunny. You will not just disown him. You will excommunicate him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Or can you see your father and call your father by name? Mr. GK. Sir. Yes, he's your who? Daddy. He's your daddy. See, your pastor is your pastor. Are you following me? The pastor got it back. And henceforth, don't answer. You need to call your pastor pastor. How do you look? Your father said, Mr. You don't do that, right? You call your father by his name. You wise. That is how you walk in honor. So, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, it says, I hold you, brethren, recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace amongst yourselves. Did you see that?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It says, know them who rule over you. I must recognize who is my pastor. Who are those who lead in my local church? Very important. Did you get? Know them. That's what Paul said. Know them. Very important. So the local church is a place of what? Orderliness. Orderliness. It's a place of what? Orderliness. Orderliness. 1 Timothy 3:15. If I'm the leader, rather you may know how to ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Orderliness, the place of orderliness. So not knowing who your leaders are will imply you will not be able to what? Receive from them. You don't need to receive from them. You don't be able to receive from them instructions and also the communication of the things of the Spirit. He now says you should esteem them highly. When he says esteem them highly, it means you should reverence them. Reverence them. You should do what? Reverence them. Reverence your pastors. Esteem them highly. Remember, there's nothing like self-esteem. Bible never gives us self-esteem. I need to have self-esteem. Self-esteem kills them. He says, you esteem your pastors highly, esteem graduates highly, right? Nothing called. So,
isolate. And that thing called low self-esteem is man's creation, it's not God's creation. Hallelujah. I send them highly. So you reverence them, right? In 1 Timothy 5:17, as a close, you honor them. That is the word double honor. You honor them. You honor them. You cannot receive from who you don't honor. You cannot. So you honor your pastors. In Hebrews 13:17, you obey them and be submissive to them. Hallelujah. When you say be submissive to them, it means you have to be submissive to their doctrine. Submissive to their doctrine. Submissive to what you are taught. Hallelujah. You know, when there is orderliness in the local church, the things of the Spirit will be received well. Are you following me? Do you hear me? You recognize first. You know, that is how you remember the church has called. But Paul will also talk about this. Because see, even in church at court, they had issues over who their pastor is. See, you understand? So you recognize them. You esteem them. You honor them. Be submissive to them. Are you for you? Be submissive to them. This is, you see, if their honor is not received, or where honor does not exist, that things of the Spirit cannot function, cannot flow. You can't have the flow of the Spirit where there is no honor. I believe when there is no honor, you can't have the flow of the Spirit. When you cannot recognize who the leadership of the local church is, you cannot receive from the leadership. And when you cannot receive, it means that there is, you cannot flow. Hallelujah. Have you learned something? Okay. Before we pray, before we